for love unconditionally. Lord, we just bask in your glory. We're in awe of your presence here today. Lord, and we are expecting to receive something from you. Lord, so right now, prepare our hearts. Prepare our minds. Lord, prepare me, your vessel. Lord God, to be completely emptied out, for you to fill me, for you to use me. Lord, I need you. And your people need a word from you. So God, do what only you can do. I trust you, God. I declare your majesty in this place. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today's scripture will come again from the Old Testament in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 9 through 11. And it reads, and I'm reading from the New International Version, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is the reading of the word of God. Amen. This morning I would like to just share with you a simple thought. And as we continue in our Encountering God series, the theme for today's message is Encountering God, the Gift of Sabbath. And what I want to convey this morning is a simple idea when we think about Sabbath, when we think about this particular part of Scripture. I want us to move from thinking about Sabbath as a command to thinking about Sabbath as a gift. From thinking about Sabbath as a command to thinking about Sabbath as a gift. If you take a step back and you see Exodus chapter 20, the chapter is where we find the Ten Commandments. And this particular commandment is commandment number 4. But if we scroll back and we take a look, and we've been trained, right, to think about the commandments as this list of rules, this list of laws that we must follow, this list of things that if we don't do, we are going to be condemned. Amen. And what I want us to begin to think about is the context in which God is giving his people these commandments, inclusive of the commandment for us to work 6 days and for us to rest. And so, if we take a look at what we have happening here in the Exodus account, we know that just 2 months earlier, God had led his people out of Egypt. His people were enslaved by Pharaoh, and now they have found themselves camping out at the bottom of Mount Sinai. They have just crossed over the Red Sea, the miracle of crossing over the Red Sea, and they've left slavery, and now they are in Mount Sinai, and now, if you look, you now see as the Lord begins and the Lord speaks. At the beginning of Exodus chapter 20, it says, and this is God speaking, and God spoke these words, and God spoke these words, I am the Lord your God, the one who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And we can't understand and we can't take the Ten Commandments apart from this introductory phrase that the Lord himself is speaking to his people. So in context, he's starting out and he says, I am the Lord your God. A personal relationship, an intimate relationship. I am the Lord your God, the one who brought you out of Egypt. This is a very recent occurrence. Only 2 months has passed since they were just living life under the hard ruling of Pharaoh. And he's saying this, I am the Lord your God, the one who brought you out of Egypt, the one who brought you out of slavery. And it is in that context now that we can begin to hear and receive and to perceive with the right lens these commandments, and specifically this commandment that we have this morning, that 6 days you shall work. 6 days you shall work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord. You see, God, with his people in the wilderness, was reestablishing his covenant with this community of believers. And in chapter 19, you see God having a conversation back and forth with Moses and his desire to establish this covenant with his people. God reassuring them of his love for his people, because the Hebrews had been enslaved for a long time. And they had gotten to the point where they had even lost hope. They were struggling with their faith. They were wondering where God was in the midst of their bondage. And God showed up. And God brought them out of slavery. And now God, in that context, is saying, I, the God who saw you, who loved you, who brought you out of slavery, is establishing my covenant with you. And as a response of this covenant relationship, I'm giving you these things because I love you and I understand how it is that you need to live and to thrive and to now live in the wilderness. And so, he says again, I am the Lord your God, the one who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So when we see this, no longer do we think Sabbath as this command, this thing that I must do, this thing that if I don't do, somehow I'm evil. But now we can begin to think about it and receive it as this wonderful gift from a God who saw us in slavery, who brought us out of slavery, and who wants us to enter in to true freedom and to true rest. You see, in this concept of Sabbath did not begin with the Exodus account, with the story, but we see it, and it talks about it in our passage, that it says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. And the parallel reason is, For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And there's this interesting thing that we see as we go back to the creation account, as the Lord is in the creating business and he's making things day by day. And as he's making things, every time he makes something, he pauses and he says it's good. And then he gets to the completion of his wonderful creation. After 6 days, he completed this work. And he looks over his work. And then he says, very good. Very good. And then on the seventh day, he rests. And so when we think about this concept of Sabbath, there's a couple things that we need to see what Sabbath is. The first thing that we need to understand that Sabbath is, it's stopping activity, stopping work to appreciate and to enjoy the fruit of the work that you have completed. You see, this rhythm of Sabbath is important because God did not need to take a break. God did not need to rest, but God completed his work in 6 days. He stopped and he looks out over everything he's created and he says, very good. And so that invites us as we imitate God, that unless we stop, we can't look at all the things that our hands have been working at and all of the things that we've been toiling. And so God is giving us a rhythm to say, when you work, it's a good thing. You see, God starts off this passage with saying, 6 days you shall work. So there's nothing bad or wrong about working. In fact, this particular passage, I think, gives us our right to work. Because there are some of us that are struggling, and we are saying, we've got this rest thing down. We've been resting for months and years, and I actually would love to find a job so that I can work. So this is an invitation that says, look, for 6 days, you shall work. You have the right to work. There is dignity in the work that you do. But on the seventh day, God rested. And when he completed his work, he took time. The God of all creation took time to smell the roses. He took time to say, I've been raising kids over and over and over again, and I've never stopped to just appreciate them. I've never paused to just say, wow, look at how far they've come. I'm going to pause for just a moment, not to complain or tell them something else that they could do better. I'm not going to give them another list of things to do, but I'm just going to, for a moment, I'm going to take a pause and I'm going to say, God, you've bless me with this amazing family. These amazing kids that are doing amazing things. Or when we spend all of our time working. And let me be honest with you. Someone did your job before you. Someone will do your job after you. Your boss will forget you. They'll lay you off. They'll fire you. And if you spend all of your energy and all of your time trying to perform, trying to work to receive someone else's stamp of approval, because look, God did not create this system that said vice presidents and assistant vice presidents and senior vice presidents. That wasn't God's creation. That was man's creation, where we began putting up layers between people. And what God is saying is, I want you to stop. I want you to have a rhythm of appreciating the things that I've created. And so he does this at the beginning of creation. 6 days, he creates. He looks over his creation. He admires it. He says, very good. He appreciates it. And then he rests from his work. And I think this is a rhythm that the Lord wants us to have. In sermon prep this week, I shared the story about sort of a Sabbath season in my life, you know, where when I went to California and you know, right before I had left for California to go to seminary, a couple of really major things had happened in my life. I mean, one, the whole idea of leaving my job, leaving income, going to incur debt, not having income. But then right before I left, you know, my grandmother had passed away. I had a cousin who had passed away. My grandfather had passed away. And my drug of choice was work. My drug of choice was work. And I worked and I worked and I worked. And I didn't do it consciously. You know, I didn't say, I'm going to work, so I don't have to think about this. But no, I just kept filling my life with activity, never letting time stop. And so I didn't know the hurt and the sickness that was developing inside of me until I went to California. And I got to California in a land where I did not know anyone else. My wilderness, no family, no friends yet, an apartment building, no internet, no TV, no sofa, no table, an apartment room, a studio, ridiculously expensive, for like 200 square feet. But time and life had stopped. And I began to weep. I began to shed tears. I'd watch a movie of seeing a grandmother or a mother in a hospital bed, and they would come, and the doctor would come out in the typical scene and say, I'm sorry, but your mother or your grandmother didn't make it. And I would find myself just weeping, uncontrollably weeping, the weeping that I could not do to mourn appropriately the loss of my grandmother, the loss of family members. I found myself in this time where everything had stopped. And now I could have looked at that time and I could have said, men don't cry. Or I could have looked at myself and said, why am I wasting energy crying and weeping? But the gift of that season, as I reflect and I look back, was God was healing deep wounds in my life that he could not do until I stopped working. I could not do until I entered into a season of rest, a season of silence, a season of inactivity. And the truth is, if we do not create a rhythm in our life where we can do this, God will force it on us. God will force it on us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down. The Lord will make you lie down if you do not create a rhythm of Sabbath, a rhythm of rest. Another translation put it like this: the Lord is my pastor. He has everything that I need. And so when you think about God being the one who loves you, the one who cares about you, the one who has established a covenant for you, the one who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, that God wants you to develop a rhythm of rest, a rhythm of Sabbath in your life, so that you can smell the roses, so that you can enjoy life, so that you can heal, so that you can be restored of all of the stuff that's going on in your life, of all of the pain that you may be feeling that you can't do unless you stop. That's the God that we serve. That's the God. You see, and in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we see there's this linkage between slavery and Sabbath. And if you don't know this by now, I'm a big fan of Tim Keller. And Tim Keller writes this. He writes, God liberated his people when they were slaves in Egypt. And in Deuteronomy 5, God ties the Sabbath to freedom from slavery. Anyone who overworks is really a slave. Anyone who cannot rest from work is a slave to a need for success, to a materialistic culture, to exploitative employers, to parental expectations, or to all of the above. These slave masters will abuse you if you are not disciplined in the practice of Sabbath rest. Sabbath is a declaration of freedom. The Sabbath is about more than external rest of the body. It is about inner rest of the soul. We need rest from the anxiety and strain of our overwork, which is really an attempt to justify ourselves, to gain the money or the status or the reputation we think we have to have. And he ends by saying this. He says, avoiding overwork requires deep rest in Christ's finished work for your salvation. Only then will you be able to walk away regularly from your vocational work and rest. You see, I believe that God is actually speaking to each and every one of us. And believe me, he is speaking to me too. I have a tendency to overwork, as I mentioned before. It is my drug of choice. But it is a drug. And I believe that God is speaking to me and he's speaking to you. And he's saying, Royce, Pastor Tedder, Deacon Bertha, I am the Lord your God, the one who brought you out of your Egypt. Maybe your Egypt was a financial crisis. Maybe your Egypt was a strained marriage or strained relationship. Maybe your Egypt, right now, you're in the midst of your Egypt, and you're at work, and you're working for a boss that doesn't respect you. You're working for a boss that doesn't respect your morals or your faith. You're constantly being asked to go a little bit further, to don't worry, you know, your son or daughter will have another soccer game. You know, your wife will understand. And before you know it, you've been pushed a little bit further away from who you've always thought that you were. And you wake up one day and you wonder, who is this person that I've become? And that is the God that can bring you out of your Egypt. He can bring you out of that land of slavery. And I believe that he establishes Sabbath. And I'm not here to define it as a day of the week. I don't care if you think that Sabbath is Saturday, if you believe that it's Sunday. I don't care if you believe that it has to be so many hours. What I'm saying is that the Lord our God wants us to establish a rhythm of rest in our life. The Lord our God wants us to enter into his rest. And the Lord our God wants to be the God that can say to you personally, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of your Egypt, that brought you out of your land of slavery, that brought you out of your addiction to porn, that brought you out of your workaholism, that brought you out of your lust, that brought you out of your alcoholism, that brought you out of your selfishness, that brought you out of your pride, that I am the Lord your God that brought you out of slavery. And therefore, it is imperative for you to establish a rhythm of rest in your life. It is imperative for you to trust me enough with the work. You see, when I really took time to reflect and I really dug deep into this tendency to overwork, I had to be honest with myself. I had to ask myself some questions. You know, what's causing me to want to overwork? What's causing me to feel like I have to perform? What's causing me to feel like you've got to be super mom or super dad, or that you've got to be everything to everyone and all things to all people? And it comes down to where we place our trust and where we place our confidence. You see, the Lord our God could have said, it took me 7 days to complete my work and I'm awesome and I don't have to rest. But he says, I created the world in 6 days and on the seventh I've rested. And if I can create the entire universe, believe me, you can do what you need to do and enter into a rhythm of rest. God is saying, I've completed the work. And if you don't trust me enough to believe that you can set it down, that you can walk away from it, that you can trust me with it. And like I said, whether your work is you're working in the financial sector, you're driving a bus, you're raising a family, it's all work. Whether you're a gardener or a teacher, and you can't stop thinking about it, because remember, it's not just about external. It's about peace. It's about joy. You can stop working all you want and not have Sabbath rest. You know how it is. You take a week vacation and you go to the Bahamas, or you go to a cruise, or you go somewhere, and you come back more tired than when you left. And so taking vacation is not the same as taking Sabbath rest. Yes, there is a place and a need to recreate, and we ought to recreate. But vacation is not the same as Sabbath rest. And so we have to be able to trust God enough to turn it off. To say, you know what? Maybe the company will fall apart if I'm not answering the phone. Maybe the lights won't turn on. Maybe the keys of the church van won't be found. Maybe I'll be late. Because taking Sabbath rest and trusting in God's ultimate provision in your life means that you might not climb the ladder as fast as you thought you were going to climb it. Trusting in God and taking Sabbath rest might mean that you don't accomplish all the goals that you set for yourself. Because the plans that God has for you is not necessarily the plans that you have for you. And so at this juncture, we have to decide, what crown are we seeking? Are we seeking the crowns of gold and silver that this earth creates? The Emmys and the Grammys of the world? The plaques and the trophies of the world? Or are we saying that we believe in God so much that we can step away, that we can take Sabbath rest, and that we can trust God with the work or with the consequences of it? You see, I don't want to lie to you and say that everything won't fall apart, but maybe everything needs to fall apart. You see, I didn't want to deal with my own mourning. I didn't want to deal with my own pain. I didn't want to look myself in the mirror and actually admit that I was weak. But God knew that until I did that, I was not going to be restored. I was not going to be whole. I was going to hold on to this pain. I was going to hold on to that upset, that upsetting feeling. And I think some of you in this room today have some things that you've been trying your best at putting on a smile, at acting like everything is cool, acting like you've got control over it all, acting like you've got it all together. And God's invitation to you is that it's okay that you don't. It is okay that you don't. Every part of my family is not pristine. Every part of my life is not pristine. Every part of my life I'm not proud of. There are some parts that I'm extremely proud of. But the truth is, we have to trust God's plan for our life. And God's plan for our life included a rhythm of Sabbath rest. It included a rhythm a rhythm of Sabbath rest, a rhythm that says, I trust you enough to take time away, to enter into your rest, to enjoy your creation. Have you ever, when was the last time at nighttime on a clear day you looked up at the sky and you looked and you pointed out and you saw Orion's belt? When was the last time you walked through a field and you picked up a leaf and you looked at it and you saw all the intricacies and you just were amazed at the beauty and the work of creation? You see, there are dangers that occur when we don't observe and we don't take Sabbath rest. And some of those dangers are that we miss out on all the beauty of the world because we're so busy just keeping track of our to-do list. We're so busy trying to just get to the next thing that we miss out on the wonderful beauty of the world. We miss out on going to the ocean and listening to the waves crash against the shore and just the peace of that experience. We miss out on climbing a mountain and taking a whole day packing a lunch and getting to the top of the mountain and just looking out and screaming at the top of your lungs and knowing you're not disturbing anyone. There's something about it that we miss. There's also something in us that happens when we don't take Sabbath rest. Similar to what happens when you don't take physical rest of your body, you get more irritable, don't you? Your patience isn't as good as it used to be when you're not resting. When somebody wakes you up in the middle of your rest, you get this look on your face that looks like you're going to kill them. Well, think about if that happens in our physical body, think about what happens to our spiritual state when we don't take Sabbath rest. Think about how much we're not equipped to do ministry, how we're not equipped to love on someone the way that we ought to love on them when we're not really resting in God, when we're not listening for his still small voice. Think about how much more when somebody cuts you off in traffic, instead of you thinking, man, what's going on in their life? Instead of you extending love and grace to someone to say, man, I don't know how they woke up or what they woke up to, but now you flick them off. You beat your horn because you're not in a spiritual state where you can even think for a second that they could be doing anything but trying to get on your nerves. But Sabbath rest can allow you to enter into a place where you can give someone the benefit of the doubt, where you can be that much more pleasant of a person to say, maybe you didn't understand. Maybe you just had an argument. Maybe you've been dealing with a loved one that you lost, or maybe you just lost your job. And we as Christians, if we're not entering into a rhythm of Sabbath rest and we're not being countercultural and we're not showing the world that it could be a beautiful place, that the creation that God made is a beautiful place and that we can create beauty just by giving out more generosity, by giving out more blessings than curses. These can be the fruits of Sabbath rest. But the lack of Sabbath rest creates in us when we see things like Paris happening. The lack of Sabbath rest can keep you from having any compassion in your heart about that. The lack of Sabbath rest could say, I got so many things going on in my own neighborhood, in my own life, to deal with that. And you could just write that off. But those folks bleed red like we bleed red. Those folks, God calls their beloved just like he calls us our beloved. And so our hearts aren't being formed into the people that God wants us to be if we're not taking time to enter into Sabbath rest. And you can do your own checkup on your own heart to say, how did I react when I hear news of stuff happening all over the world? How do I react when someone asks for something here, even if I don't think they deserve it? Is my heart being shaped into the heart that has rested with the Lord God, our Savior? Because if your heart spends any time with my Savior, you can't react that way. If your heart spends any time with the God who brings us out of our Egypt, the God that brings us out of our slavery, you can't react without compassion, without grace, without love. You know, so how do we do this? What does this look like? How do we cultivate a rhythm of Sabbath in our lives? How do we cultivate a rhythm of Sabbath in this church, in our community, in our families maybe? First thing is, Sabbath rest requires wholeness. You know, because God didn't just care about you, right? He said, your male servants, your female servants, your animals. And in Leviticus, we see even the land gets a break. The folks, you know, in Leviticus is told not to reap the entire land, but to leave the outer perimeters for the poor to come in and reap. So you're not focused on greed. You're not focused on overproduction, but you're leaving some of the ground untilled. And so maybe what that means in your life, maybe it means that you set fewer goals. Maybe it means that you put fewer expectations on what you can achieve and what you can do. Maybe what that means for our church, maybe what it means for our church is that we have to focus on a few things and do those few things well and say, may the grace of God cover the things that we can't do. And may we believe that maybe we're the foot in the body and trusting that God will supply a hand. And that's hard to do. That is incredibly hard to do because that means that you have to accept your limitations. And it means that you have to give up control to God. That's a part of the Sabbath principle. What it also means is that we have to be intentional. Not doing something is not enough to enter into Sabbath rest. If we look at the principle of Sabbath, I believe that when we think about work, it's the work that we do to make a living. I don't think we need to get legalistic and say, well, if I do anything, if I drive my car, if I... No. I think actually we're invited to do some intentional activities that are life-giving. And so that means if you are an accountant for a living, and then you also volunteer your accounting services for a nonprofit and for your church, that's not Sabbath rest. You are using what you do for a living in a good way, but Sabbath rest might be cooking. Man, when I cook, I just, you know, I experience peace. You know, when the aroma of all of the seasonings come together, and that's what I do to enter into Sabbath rest. But if you're a chef, cooking is not Sabbath rest. But for a chef, maybe Sabbath rest for a chef, maybe their intentional activity is, I love to work with my hands, and I bought this new planer where I can plane this piece of wood, and I can get it down to the perfect size, and I just like to create something with wood. And for me, when I'm doing that, I feel closer to the Creator than any other time in my life. And for them, that might be entering into Sabbath rest. But for a carpenter, that's not Sabbath rest. For a professional runner, running is what they do for a living. And so running would not be Sabbath rest. But for a banker, hitting the pavement first thing in the morning, iPod in your ears, pedometer on your wrist, thoughts to think about what's going on and connecting with God, that absolutely might be you entering in the Sabbath rest. But for a runner, that's not Sabbath rest. Do we get that? Do we understand that concept? Personality matters. That means not only does your vocation and what you do for a living dictate how you might enter in the Sabbath rest, how you are hardwired will dictate how you enter into Sabbath rest. So that means if you're naturally love to be around people. And loving to be around people, and every time you're around people, you just feel energized and ready to like take on the world. That might be Sabbath rest for you, because when you're alone, you might be anxious and stressed and worried. But if you're the type of person that's like, man, I just want to go home and read a nice book and sip on a nice hot tea and put my feet up, and then being around a whole lot of folks won't be Sabbath rest for you. Family time is not always Sabbath rest. Family time, you may say, well, I always make time for my family. Well, family will make you need to have double Sabbath rest sometimes. And so we have to be careful to not always think that, well, I've set time aside all the time to spend with my family, and so I'm making sure I'm getting Sabbath time. But that might be a life-draining activity. That might not be bringing you closer to an encounter with God through Sabbath. And that ultimately is the aim of Sabbath. The ultimate purpose of Sabbath is in entering into a deeper, a more authentic time of refreshing, restoration with the God who brought us out of our Egypt. And that is ultimately the invitation. That is ultimately the invitation that God has for us. You see, in the New Testament, in the book of Mark, chapter 2, it mentions that Jesus and his disciples are picking grain out of the field. And that was one of the things classified as work, you know, at that time. Reaping is work. You know, and Jesus says this really interesting, fascinating thing that says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What that tells me is that God knew that we needed Sabbath rest. He knew that we're not doing this thing because God needs it. We're doing this thing because God created us. He knows us, and he knows that we need it. The intent here is not to be legalistic, but to be life-giving. It's to be life-giving. And ultimately, what we find as we encounter God and we encounter Jesus, we find that not only is Jesus the Lord of the Sabbath, but Jesus himself is our Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath. In Matthew chapter 11, between the two greats, between the great commandment to love and between the great commission to go, we see God's invitation for us to come. To come. All who are weary, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, we enter into Sabbath rest first and foremost when we have an authentic encounter with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, because Jesus has completed the work. When Jesus came down from heaven, he completed that work on Calvary, and he says, you can rest in my completed work. You can rest. And so come to me. Come to me, all who are weary. Is there anyone here that's tired? Is there anyone here today that's weary? Is there anyone here that is facing stress, anxiety? You're worried about something. You're feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders. You're feeling the weight of family expectations on your shoulders. You're feeling the weight of what Union Baptist Church has put on your shoulders. And the Lord your God is saying, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, and the exciting thing that we have is this gift. This gift. And in this season, we've been giving, the ministers have been giving our pastor a gift. We've been giving our pastor a gift. And although it's been maybe this 1,000-pound elephant in the room as Sunday after Sunday you come here and you wonder why Pastor Tedder's not preaching in the pulpit, it's because the Lord our God sent him an invitation to come and to rest. And the ministers came together to hold up his shoulders, amen, to come and say, we will give you the gift of Sabbath rest. We will give you the opportunity that not many pastors get to have to sit in their own church week after week and to feed and to listen and to learn and to hear a word for his soul. Where he gets to see the fruit of his labor. Week after week, we meet every Tuesday. All the ministers come together and we wrestle with the text. And we look at the text. We break it apart from every angle. Whether it's in person or on a conference call. And we're looking and we're saying, well, what does that mean? And how does that, and what does this mean in the bigger picture of that? Or how would a woman look at that? Or what does that mean for our youth? And, amen. And we've been cultivating this rhythm of community study together for the last 2 years. And now pastor has an opportunity to see the fruits of this process while he gets to actually hear a word from the Lord. Now, what our challenge is as a community is we have to say, you have this season. You're entering into Sabbath rest. How can we as a community come alongside you to keep you accountable? Because this is not a vacation. This is an opportunity to encounter God in a personal way. Pastor has mentioned before that it's different to have a professional relationship with God and to have a personal relationship with God. It's different to do a job every day and to actually let that job consume you and take over you and to transform you. And what we're saying is, as ministers, we're saying that we want to give pastor the gift of Sabbath to encounter God for himself. Over and over again, because I tell you what, this last year in my life has been a rough year. And I'm sure you've had some rough seasons in your life. And more than ever have I really come to appreciate this idea where it says to daily renew your mind. Daily renew your mind. You don't just get saved once and for all and you're good to go. You got your rubber stamp. You don't just get a call and go to seminary or study once and for all. You don't just become a pastor of a church once and for all and then you're set. No, it's a daily renewal that has to take place. And just like I couldn't stop and mourn the loss of my grandmother until I stopped all the activity. And I couldn't hear what God was saying to me and what God wanted to do in my life until I stopped. I believe that this is what we are called to do individually, to enter into a Sabbath rest. But I also believe that's the season that pastor is in right now, where pastor, believe me, he wants to be up here preaching. He wants to be up here preaching. But he wants to be obedient to God even more. Amen. And he heard and he wrestled, and God said, you need to listen to the word. He's been there. He's been here Sunday after Sunday. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's been there Tuesday after Tuesday. He hasn't gone anywhere. But he's now beginning to ask the question and wrestling with creating a rhythm of Sabbath. A rhythm, and that's not easy. It's not easy to be obedient. It's not easy to question everything. But this is the season that we're called to be in, a season to trust God enough that if we stop, that we'll still be okay. And so the invitation this morning is for each of you Where in your life have you been striving so much, overworking so much, trying to keep the balls in motion, afraid of what happens if everything stops? This is the God that this morning says, come to me. Come to me right now. Come. And so the doors of the church are open for you this morning. Amen. To come to the God who wants to bring you out of your Egypt right now. He wants to bring you out of your land of slavery right now. But it requires you to heed his calling and his invitation to come. Come to God, all who are weary. And this is Jesus speaking. Come to God, all who are heavy laden, and allow God himself to give you rest and to be your rest. Also, the invitation this morning is for any of those here under the sound of my voice who wants to be a part of a community that wants to be obedient to God, that wants to understand the rhythm of Sabbath. We at Union Baptist Church welcome you here this morning. If you want to join in and become a member officially of this body and to enter into a covenant relationship with us, to hold you accountable, to love on you, to help you become the person that God wants you to be, then we invite you to come right now. The doors of the church are open. Come. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're a member of the church, but there's something in your life right now that